United Press is on the air. By plane, train, boat, cable, telegraph, and the shortwave radio, news of the world is speeded to United Press headquarters in New York. There in the special radio wire room, this current history is prepared for release on radio stations like this one in all parts of the United States. Within minutes after each story is received in New York, it reaches this station on the only coast-to-coast radio news wire in existence. The moves on the checkerboard of a warring world are covered this way, and so are the intricate maneuvers of both sides of an important piece of legislation in Washington. The portrait of a startling young baseball rookie may be wired up from a Florida training camp, or the heartbreak of women waiting to learn if their loved ones, trapped in a mine explosion, are still alive. There's no end to the flow of news. Hollywood, fabulous city of the motion picture, has a regular daily coverage, and this edition of United Press on the Air is given over to that fascinating activity. Here to tell you more about it and to introduce our guests is the nationally known commentator, Rush Hughes.
Hello, listeners. This is Rush Hughes. Here are some scenes taken from the lives of United Press correspondents in Hollywood. That alarm clock goes off early in the morning for them. There are two kinds of Hollywood correspondents, and Fred Othman and Jesse Henderson, who represent United Press, are the working kind. Some of the others may lie in bed all morning and phone in their stories by reading them straight from the reams of handouts the studio publicity departments cook up every day. But Fred Othman and Miss Henderson get their news of Hollywood the hard way, going after it to turn up original yarns the press agents never even dreamed about. That's what makes Othman's Hollywood column one of the best read in the world, and what gives Miss Henderson's Movieland column such radio appeal. To keep up their pace means lots of work. Of course, you may think it would be a mighty nice job to sit down with Clark Gable and Carol Lombard for an interesting chat about themselves. Well, it is. And before this program is over, you will have a chance to hear Fred Othman do just exactly that with Mr. Gable and Miss Lombard personally answering his questions. But that's only half of the story, although it is the half having to do with love and glamour. The other part of the picture of a good Hollywood correspondent finds him right in the center of things. Let's go to the romantic side of Hollywood, and for this, we give you in person Fred Othman, United Press correspondent in Hollywood, and Mr. and Mrs. Clark Gable, also in person. Mr. and Mrs. Gable, you may know something about. In a moment, you will know more. Mr. Othman got his training for Hollywood work by 5 years in the Washington Bureau of United Press, where he covered Congress and politics and government bureaus and lobbyists. And judging by the swell job he does in Hollywood, the Washington experience was very valuable. But let him tell you about himself. All right, Fred Othman, we are ready for you and Carol Lombard and Clark Gable in Hollywood. Come in, please.
For 3 years now, I've been covering Hollywood, and I don't guess any newspaper reporter ever had a pleasanter job. I've had so much fun doing it, I'd even do it for nothing if I had to.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I'm glad I don't have to. I'll admit that. But where else can a reporter spend all his days watching beautiful ladies and cowboys and vaudeville acts? And Lana Turner, trick animals, 10 million other surprising things.
And spend all his nights writing about them.
Even that's got its points. When a newspaper man thinks he has a good story, he'd rather write it than eat.
It can't be all beer and Skittles, can it?
Well, not all. Some of these Hollywood love affairs do slow me down. Everybody's got a right to fall in love. Get married if anybody'll have him. That marriage business is what hurts. Most of the movie stars figure they've got to do it secretly. I don't know why. Maybe they're playing a game. Take Miss Goldilocks. She says absolutely not. She wouldn't even think of marrying Joe Dokes. Then she gets in a car with him some midnight. They drive to Las Vegas, wake up the justice, and get married under their own names, which seldom even resemble her screen monikers. Then I gotta chase them by telephone and dog sled. When I finally catch up with them, they always say, "We didn't know anybody was interested." Not interested. Marriage of two big-time picture stars is front-page news. When they try to keep it secret, it's tough on a reporter's sleep.
Do they all do that?
Not as much as they used to. About 2 years ago, Carol Lombard said she was going to marry Clark Gable. She didn't say she hated the man. No, sir. She said she loved him. That reversed the usual procedure. It was a big surprise in itself. Then they got married. 5 minutes later, they phoned in the news, and I didn't lose a wink of sleep. Next morning, they held a press conference in case anybody had any questions. This broke all precedent and set a new one, I hope.
They must be nice people.
You hide behind that palm tree and see for yourself. Since we're here at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and since Mr. and Mrs. G are here, too, I made a date to talk to them both and maybe pick up a little news.
I'm hid.
Hi, Fred.
You're right on time, Mr. G.
I've been up since 5.
What about that farming, Clark? I hear tell you like to run your tractor so much you plow each field 4 times before you plant it.
A slight exaggeration. I only have 1 field, and I only give it the once-over lightly. I like machinery, but plowing is a lot of work.
Last machinery you tangled with was a tank, wasn't it?
Yeah, Comrade X. It was a little whiz-ding, that tank. About 4 stories tall. Hetty Lamar and I were supposed to make a flying leap to the top.
Did you make it?
Hetty did. I landed flat on my face. Bloody nose, clothes ruined, the horse laugh from the crew.
You seem to take a lot of falls.
For my art.
That was a beaut in Boomtown.
Oh, you mean when Tracy and I fell into the mud puddle?
Yeah, looked like genuine mud to me.
It was real mud, all right. But the wildest-eyed mud scene I ever had was when they had me as a newsreel cameraman. I was in Shanghai, taking pictures of the Japanese bombing.
And a bomb landed right behind you.
And bounced me into the mud. In such a hurry, I never even got to close my eyes.
Oh, that's what the studio nurse was doing afterwards.
Exactly. Washing the mud out of my eyeballs.
Why is it, Clark, you spend so much time in pictures in the mud?
I don't know. Unless the scriptwriters like to see me suffer. Whenever we get around to doing such a scene, I always notice the authors on the sidelines, chuckling to themselves.
What about your next show? Do you eat more dirt than that one?
No, mainly gunpowder, I think. It's called The Uniform. You get the idea.
Who's the girl?
Rosalind Russell.
Nice work.
When you're not in the mud.
Have you seen Mrs. G this morning?
Yeah, she's waiting for you on the next stage. As for me, I've got to get my picture taken. They're always taking pictures. They must have thousands. Probably use them for wallpaper.
So long, Mr. G.
Goodbye, Mr. O.
He is a nice guy.
And so's his bride. One of the most interesting stories I ever wrote, I got it from her. Was in March. All the movie stars were grousing about their income taxes. Came a report from Congress listing some of their incomes. Miss Lombard was down for $450,000 that year.
That's a lot of money.
On the face of it. But we got to talking one day. Developed she had to pay better than 80% of it in assorted taxes.
You didn't leave her much.
No, it didn't. But that's not the point of the story. Miss Lombard said she was glad to pay income taxes. She said she appreciated this country and its fine schools and roads, even its handsome post offices. She said she felt like she was one of the proprietors of the whole business. She said it gave her a thrill deep down inside.
Say, I'd like to...
Behind that tree, quick. Here she is.
Hello, Fred.
You're looking chipper this morning.
Oh, feeling that way, too. Say, Fred, I liked that story of yours in the paper last night about the Professional Stilt Walkers Protective Association.
Thank you, ma'am. And I liked your last picture, too.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it was fun to make.
I remember watching you direct the director. You gave him the works.
Oh, that's funny about Alfred Hitchcock. You know, he always insists on appearing himself in every picture he makes. He says it's for luck.
He didn't look very happy with you at the camera.
Well, I guess I did wear the poor man down. I made him do that scene 14 times. I wouldn't let him sit down between the takes. I told him he wasn't giving his heart and his soul.
A case of turnabout?
Well, not exactly, but I've worked under a lot of directors, including a few artists. I'm putting a quote around the artists. Some of them can make an actress' life miserable. Thank goodness there aren't any left in the business now.
Except Director Lombard.
I'm the only one.
I've been thinking about that income tax story we did a while back. An odd thing has happened.
So? Am I going to get a refund?
Better than that. The New York City School Board has included the story in its high school civics textbook as an example for good citizens. Aren't you proud?
Oh, I am, honestly and sincerely. What about you, Freddie, my lad? Bet you never thought you'd write a textbook.
No, I never thought that. But you're not supposed to be interviewing me. I'm interviewing you. What have you been doing lately?
Well, I did a radio program the other day with Jimmy Stewart. He was great.
And what were you?
I played a movie star.
You just acted natural?
Well, I tried to, but it didn't work.
Nervous?
Well, I lost 6 pounds in 30 minutes.
I know. Look at me now.
Well, you do seem a little damp.
I'm melting down to a puddle.
Oh, that's fine. Now you know. Next time you're standing on the set, you won't look at me and laugh. You'll have some pity in your heart. You'll feel sorry for me.
I'm feeling sorry now, in advance. I'm a goner.
Well, let's go have lunch, Fred.
Lucky guy, that Oathman. Lunch with Lombard. And they pay him for it.
Thank you, Carol Lombard, Clark Gable, and Fred Oathman in Hollywood. You see, ladies and gentlemen, while the life of a real working Hollywood correspondent like Fred Oathman sometimes calls for action of the most thrilling sort, it also has its moments when gay banter and lunch with the stars is the order of the day. But all of this is news, and United Press, as always, is on the ground to get it first, to get it accurate, and to bring it to you without the color of partiality. That's the finish of this edition of United Press on the Air. Our next one will bring you, also in person, Virgil Pinkley, United Press correspondent who has been traveling back and forth in Italy, Germany, and Russia since the beginning of Europe's war. He has a lot of stories to tell, and a few of them may stand your hair on end. I hope you can sit in when this show comes your way, too. Until then, thank you, and goodbye for now. This is Rush Hughes speaking.
Yes, wherever there's news, whether in Hollywood, Europe's war fronts, in Asia, Africa, or here at home, there also are United Press reporters. These capable American-trained correspondents work round the clock in all parts of the world to keep you abreast of today's significant and exciting events. Be sure to hear the next edition of this series showing United Press in action.